Losing a family member is certainly one of the most difficult things we as humans have to deal with. The emotional energy we invest in our relationships often surpasses anything else that we do in this life. That is why after losing my son, nothing seemed to be able to fill the gap and make me whole again. I became obsessed with pretending that he was still alive through keeping items he possessed. I just couldn't seem to let go. It got to a point where I just had no room for his stuff and mine in my apartment. So I decided to join the masses of America and purchase a storage unit to make up for my lack of space. Again, not having a lot of money, I was kind of forced to go with a facility on a more rundown side of town to get a good deal on the amount of space I needed. It was called Save Your Stuff Storage, which kind of said everything it needed to about the quality of the place. I booked the unit online and received all the paperwork ahead of time for it. When I first showed up at about 7 p.m., I was surprised to see how dead the place was. It didn't seem like there was a single other person inside the entire complex. There was also this automatic gate at the front that opened when you put your code in. And it was one of those places where the inner hallway lights only come on when the motion sensors trigger. And once you stop moving, they fairly quickly turn off. The place pretty much seemed as if it was functioning completely on its own. My unit was on the second floor, and you had to go through at least two separate hallways to get to it. So pushing all my stuff up there was a real pain. The hallways were all dirty, and the place really had this old, gross vibe to it. I finally got to my unit and began to unload my 40 or so boxes into it. I was leaning over one of the boxes when suddenly the hallway lights turned off on me. That was going to get annoying. I stood there for a moment in the pitch black darkness before turning around and waving my hands to trigger the motion sensor. When the lights came back on, I noticed that something was slightly different. One of the garage doors behind me, which had been fully closed before, was now slightly open. This really freaked me out because no one had been in the hallway since I got there. I lifted up the door to reveal nothing but a lonely little Hot Wheels car inside. This was pretty strange, but I didn't think too much of it and closed the unit again. However, as I did that, I saw the automatic light come on from a different hallway perpendicular to mine. I had a small knife on me to cut tape and stuff, so I grabbed it just in case and slowly began walking towards the hallway where the light came from. Looking around the corner, I didn't see anything out of the norm at first. Just another boring hallway full of garage doors. As I ventured down it, though, I noticed that at the end, there was a ceiling panel that looked out of place. Again, this was weird, but not necessarily proof of anything out of the norm. Considering the condition of this place, it could have been like that before. So I chalked the whole thing up to faulty wiring and just went about my business. I opened my unit up again and started organizing the boxes into something a bit more manageable. I noticed a box that said Timmy's Animals on it. This box hit me deeply on an emotional level, and I had to open it to take something out. It was a ragged stuffed dog, which was my son Timmy's favorite stuffed animal. As I took the dog out, I heard something fall over in the unit next to mine. I looked over and saw that the door was completely locked with a padlock. This was getting too weird, so I closed my unit up and locked the garage door. I figured I should probably go to the front office and tell the building manager. So, stuffed animal in hand, I marched over to a building at the front of the complex, but it looked closed. Surprisingly, the door was unlocked and I walked in, but the lights were totally out. All I could see was this flicker from a TV in the back office. "Hello?" I called out, but was met with complete silence. "I think there may be a squatter in one of your units. You might want to go check it out." Still, I heard nothing. Kind of annoyed, I walked around the side of the desk and stepped into the back office. It was dark inside, with the TV being the only source of light I could see. I noticed the silhouette of a man staring into the TV, watching these black and white 50s sci-fi movies, with the volume turned almost all the way down. Sir, did you hear what I said? I asked. The man didn't move a muscle. I thought he may be hurt or worse, so I slowly approached him. Sir? I stepped around the side of him, seeing his blank, emotionless face gazing into the TV. He was clearly alive, but speechless all the same. His hand was clutching a pocket watch, which he rubbed repeatedly with his thumb.
There's nothing there, he said, lifting the pocket watch up for me to see.
I gazed at him in silence, at a loss for words.
There's nothing there,
he yelled, growing increasingly distraught. What happened? Is there something I can do for you, sir? I asked, trying to remain cool.
You'll never believe it. You'll never, ever believe it,
the man said as he began to laugh maniacally. I backed away, pretty much done with this place altogether. Extremely tense, I hurried back to my car when I realized I didn't have my phone on me. I had put it down in one of the boxes I was packing and locked it inside the unit. I couldn't even remember how I'd gotten to that place, and I'd be completely lost trying to head home without GPS. So I had to run back to the unit to get my phone. I went back up the elevator and stepped out into the hall. The lights flickered on as I slowly walked back towards my hallway. As soon as I turned the corner, the lights flashed on, revealing this horrific creature standing in front of my unit. It appeared to be some kind of giant pale human-insect hybrid, with bent back legs and these claw-like structures for arms. It looked like one of its claws had snapped the padlock attached to my unit, and it was frantically jittering around trying to get inside. It then turned its hideous bald head toward me and opened up these terrifying mandibles on its face. Slipping and nearly rolling my ankle, I ran back toward the elevator. The creature screamed and took off after me at an incredible speed. I obviously didn't have time for the elevator, so I ran to the emergency stairway and flew through the door. Jumping down several stairs at a time, I was outside in seconds, but the creature bursted out just a moment later. I ran to my car but didn't even have time to unlock the door before the creature grabbed onto my shirt and started tearing and thrashing at me. It swung its claw at my head, missing and breaking my car window. Luckily, it got stuck for a second, giving me a head start. Still clutching my son's stuffed dog, I darted for the front gate of the complex, yelling for help as loud as I could. I knew if I could get through the gate, I could possibly use my code and lock it inside. I got to it and dove towards the exit door, but was caught mid-lunge by the creature's claw. It slammed me to the ground and used its incredible weight to keep me down. I screamed for help as it pushed my forehead down and ripped the stuffed dog out of my hand. This slithery tentacle then extended out from its forehead and made a disturbing sucking sound on the toy. Then that tentacle reached down and stuck to my forehead, latching on. I screamed and shook, but there was no way out of this thing's clutches. Then all I remember was blacking out. I woke up confused in a hospital bed with my son's stuffed dog sitting in a chair beside me, as if waiting for me to awaken. Strangely, though, I could not remember whose stuffed dog it was. In fact, when my ex-wife and parents got to the hospital, they showed me photo after photo of a boy who was apparently supposed to be my son. I have no memory of him at all. In fact, I thought that perhaps the telling of this story would somehow rekindle the feelings I had for him. But after completing it, I'm sad to say that has not happened. It's been weeks now, and there was no disturbing creature ever found at the unit, and somehow the cameras had malfunctioned. The police have questioned the front office manager, and he had pretty much the same story I did. However, as a police officer, I guess you don't pay too much attention to things like this. They did, however, check the storage facility and discovered that many people had items missing, so I know I didn't just somehow imagine it. In fact, I've heard reports about another facility, not too far away, having some strange similar incidents happening in it as well. Tonight, I'm going to check it out. People have told me that this could be more of a blessing than a curse, and that I should just move on with my life. I'd argue that memories are some of the most precious things we have. Without them, it's like the things of the past never even existed at all. So perhaps tonight, I'll figure out how to get back what I can only assume was one of the most valuable things ever taken from me. Hey guys, it's Mr. Freaky. Thanks for listening. I hope you enjoyed the story, and if you ever get a storage unit, keep the things safe that you have. You never know if certain entities out there may value them more than you think. Please remember to smash that like button, go ahead and subscribe to my channel if you want to keep up to date with all this creepy stuff. Have a horrific evening, and stay spooky, my friends.